This week on the Push What Lies podcast, we talk about what is your mentor and what does your mentor not do for you. Three, two, one. I'm here to open some wounds.
Hey guys, welcome to the Push Poor Legs podcast with myself, Damik.
And me, Coach Carnivore Cat.
Good old Coach Carnivore Cat. Oh dear. So yeah, as you guys are aware, Tom was looking to actually name his bike. He's got a brand new bike, as the listeners know. He's talked about it fucking nonstop. It's boring. But anyway, I suggested that he should have called his bike Coach Carnivore Cam or something of the equivalent. I was trying to find a bike pun. Anyone knows a bike pun that would work really well with that? Let me know, because I couldn't find one. But yeah, that was my suggestion to his little old question box. Oh, I want that one name to pick. Bikey McBikeface. Was that the Odd Sisters one? I quite like that one.
I got a load of them. Fucking hell. I was just like, geez, scrub. I was like, you know what? Fuck the algorithm. I'm just going to share a bunch of them. I've still got like about 17 to fucking share. And I'm like, fuck this. I can't be bothered. my sister, because I did say it because she's turning about fucking 86, replied to me on Facebook Messenger. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? I was like, why are you on here? She was like, oh, fuck. Sorry. I was like, well, I've tagged you in fucking my one actually, you know, on social media. So yeah, Ian, brilliant. I can't see it on my laptop. Bikeel Jackson, very good. Dan, I enjoyed the Dan. I was like, we've got Wheelie McWheelface, Velociraptor, Bike Nado, Chain Reaction,
Cycle. Chain Reaction's not so bad.
It's pretty good, isn't it? Cycle McCycle Face, brilliant. My sister, everybody. There's a few, but I don't know how to view it on. I'm using my phone as my camera, but I don't know how to view the insights or whatever on Instagram is shit on desktop. Like, actually is a thing, isn't it?
Well, it's because it's not designed for it, is it?
Absolute pony. Well, they need to sort their lives out. How do I, can I do a click on it? No, I can see viewers, but I can't see anything else. I know I've got a bunch more. Anyway, if you're really eager, then come and ask me. I'm annoyed that not many people got my, basically, if anybody's on my email list, we talked about something on my email list the other day, in the future, that I do a little quote from somebody, and I did a Phil Dunphy quote from Modern Family, and I like doing funny quotes on my email list.
Yeah, Modern Family's not funny, so that wouldn't work.
How dare you? Wow, really? You don't like it?
Never watched it, never got into it.
You never watched it?
No, I never found any of the clips so funny. I didn't get the money in the clips. I don't think the clips are funny. It's never drawn me in. Yeah.
Oh, I've watched it. I've watched it twice all the way through. Yeah. Good. It's that good.
What's it comparable to? Compare it to something. Like, compare it to a comedy.
I feel like the silly comedy is like what I'm watching at the moment, which is It's Jess. What's that one? I'm literally watching it. No. how have I just drawn a blank?
You're useless, mate. No, I don't watch anything current at the moment, which is really I watched the Man City behind the scenes documentary. That's good.
I have some jovials. You're just watching, you think fucking Only Fools and Horses is current, so you're like,
it's classic. That is a classic. You can't really get that. Yeah, I thought I think in that
New Girl, fuck me. Yeah.
Oh, New Girl, okay. On the old Man City documentary thing, I think Jack Grealish comes across really well. And so does Erling Haaland, actually. Comes across really well.
Okay.
Yeah. And Erling Haaland, by the way, definitely is not as clean cut as he suggests with all his diet and everything, you know, on like social media. They let a few things slide in there that you realize he's sat there like he's on aeroplane stuff, eating like fruit pastels and polos and stuff. And then Jack Grealish drops him in it and he said, oh, he ordered him a Domino's pizza one night and all this. And it's like, oh, okay, now it's coming out. You know, he's like this, oh, he only eats really good natural stuff. It's like, yeah, bollocks, dude.
Absolutely bollocks. Bullshit. Nah, everybody's got their little things. It's absolutely fine. Moderation in it, but we're all good.
Well, he's not carnivore, that's for sure.
I haven't followed much of Cam this week. I've been a bit busy, so
yeah, I haven't either, to be honest. I mean, it doesn't take long. I mean, we can probably go on there. I bet he's cooked something with mints and cheese on it. So
no, I got annoyed.
And I bet he drunk some raw milk. So
where's he been? He's been to the farmer's market. Oh no, he's raw milk. Always go for raw milk. That's a bit, yeah. So all of that stuff, all the good stuff.
74,000 followers now.
Straight from the teat, that's where he takes it. Could you imagine? I like that he didn't get the on the eating high fat animal based foods is amazing post. Or sixth one down. He didn't quite get the profile picture or the picture, the display picture quite right. His mouth is wide open. Normally he's got the little point, isn't he? But yeah.
He's just the, it was the high intensity workout, interval workout that I thought you'd pick up on first, mate, because I know you're about that life.
Yeah, I'm about that life. It's fine. Right, he's got more likes than me. So apart from I reached 2 million on that old reel the other day. I was quite proud of myself. Buzzing. Obviously, none of the other ones have hit that since, so but we're all good. Obviously, all the followers from it, probably 100
100 million.
by it. high intensity intervals with zero carbs. Why do you need to tell us about zero carbs? 8 rounds of 20-second interval runs, 30 double unders, and 10 wall balls. I'm annoyed that he's done it that way around. 20, 30, 10. I would rather 30, 20, 10 or 10, 20, 30, just for symmetry.
Yeah, just for that alone, that's
Yeah, literally, it doesn't make
it
any more
gets.
sense. Like, but I would just get really annoyed that he's done that. And I'm like, yeah, I'm that guy who literally will. If you're in the gym with me and I know you, I will walk up to your plates and take them off and reorder them, or just be like, or take them off your barbell until you reorder them. Be like, there's no use unless you're doing some weird drop set. If you've only got fives or like fucking tens, the only base you should have is a 20 or a 25. Then you start from every, as soon as something adds up to 20 or 25, get it off, put one of the other ones on.
Correct.
Apart from people,
It's right. You're right, mate.
I look stronger. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you look stronger with the bigger plates on. So, anyway, ran over. Hope you're having a good week, Cam. I know you listen.
He definitely listens to me. He's our number one fan, I reckon.
I'm
Just need to
still
share it more.
surprised, considering he's like had a growth of followership. I'm still surprised he's not selling anything, anything different. I would be.
Well,
I'd be
that's the thing
like.
you see with him, mate. You see, he's just thriving in his lifestyle. He doesn't need to sell anything. He's everything he needs in life because the carnivore diet is cheap, remember? So he doesn't need anything. I wonder what his job is. I really
I
want to know
do
what his job is.
want to know. Yeah, I want to know what he gets paid for. He can't just get be
It can't be
paid
just
for
his meal.
his
It can't be just his meal
meal plan
plans. No.
for 20 quid. He's not £5 off it. No.
Does
And you
he?
get
Fucking
the 4 week carnivore diet nutrition plan is currently £19.95.
kind of want to
Was
buy it.
£25. You can get a 4 week personalized meal plan. What's different between the personalized one and
Nothing. What to do if you don't like beef mince?
yeah, can we go in there and be like, well, I'm vegetarian, so can we do the carnivore
Yeah, I'm a
diet? Can
vegan, so you can only do carnivore.
go to the carnivore diet recipe book over
Literally,
30.
what would a vegetarian do on the carnivore diet? Literally just drink raw milk and
Raw
cheese
milk,
and eat cheese. That's it.
cheese. You can have eggs, can you?
Eggs, yeah.
Yeah,
Can't
oh,
they?
that would be bad, wouldn't it?
Why don't he eat fish?
Don't
He does. No, he does eat sardines out of the tin, doesn't he, for breakfast? Remember?
know. Hey.
He never really talks about salmon, though, does he? Or whitefish?
No, I've not seen that.
That's strange. Yeah, I just think there's. Anyway, there you go. Craziness that is Coach Carnivore Camp.
We love him. We love him, really. It's all
We do.
fantastic. All right. Yes. What was I gonna? What was the? I feel like we're just gonna get a ranty one going. Morning.
Yeah,
I wasn't
today's
a good.
definitely going to be ranty, for sure.
I'm fucking knackered.
Yeah.
Everybody watching this on YouTube, I'm like, my eyes are basically closed. I don't normally do like my nice cutoff of what I like to do is about 4 1-to-1 clients. When I did seven and five of them back to back today, and then I actually had to do some other shit. Primary river.
Yeah.
But I feel like 7 hours of training people is different to 7 hours being at a laptop. I feel like in terms of
Yeah.
fatiguingness.
Both fatiguing in different ways.
Both fatiguing, but yeah, I feel like with a laptop being able to step away every now and again is probably a good thing. Can't step away during 5 hours of chat and shit.
No.
And
then
I'm a
you're having
pleasure to
discharge
be
shit.
with
So.
for all of that time. So
Yeah,
it's
I'm just pleased that your clients only get an hour with you, mate, because fuck me, they wouldn't last long.
I had an
Mind you.
interesting talk about this actually with one of my clients, because he was like, obviously he was I was like, I cost what I cost, right? But it's kind of allotted to per hour. And he was like, well, can't like some of them like you just do 50 minutes with. And then if and I was like, yeah, I kind of like I don't really I just say per session, right? I don't have a time frame in theory. It just
Yeah.
happened. Obviously, like booking out for an hour. In theory, they're paying for my expertise over that time. And he was like, yeah, I wouldn't expect us always to be working out. It could be like nutrition consult or a chat about certain things or anything. It's just I'm getting an hour like that amount of your time and expertise. An interesting one, isn't it? Because obviously we talk about that for that's how online coaching is a little bit more scalable because you're able to like
Yeah.
allot time a little bit better or like across the month instead of just like you are there for that hour, you work out for that hour. Anyway, if people are thinking like they work out solidly for an hour, fuck me. Like most of my clients will finish five minutes before.
I think that's a good point, mate. I think you made there for once. For once, that's a good point you've made.
Thanks,
Do you know? Like, I
mate.
think it is interesting because I do that with, again, bring it back to golf, because is what I do. But when my golf lessons, it's like I buy a pack of 10 lessons and it's like 45-minute lessons. But like last lesson on Saturday was like an hour and 15, and you didn't go, oh, that's two sessions worth. You just based on each session, it's just like, well, whatever we need to get done, however long I think it needs to be done. Like you said, at that level, people that are slightly higher up and charge a bit more, I think that's it's definitely more their discretion where they're like, well, no, it's just it's going to be this because we need to go through it. Likewise, you know, if you had a client who was doing a finisher and it was like 2 minutes over the hour, you're not going to just stop at the hour and go, do that yourself, carry on, see you in a bit. Like
But
you just go, well,
even
let's
with
finish it.
stuff like that as well, people because there's a girl that I do 90 minute sessions with, and but for the last like 15, 20 minutes of it, honestly, she doesn't care if I'm there or not.
Yeah.
Like she's because and she's got some sort of kind of conditioning Metcon stuff and she knows the drill. I literally ask her to put her headphones in and like that kind of stuff. And it's just like, all right, I've written the stuff that she's doing. Like I don't actually need to be there. Really, she wants me there as some sort of accountability, but she doesn't mind if I'm like sending an email or something like that, or she just double checks stuff. And I'm like, yeah, it's cool, but I guess it's like,
That's
yeah,
pretty
because
cool.
I'm writing the plans and stuff like that, it's fine. It's a weird one. Also, because there's certain coaches that won't ever like leave their client's sides as well, and I will quite
Yeah.
happily walk across, like, fuck off, go
Yeah.
fill my bottle up, come back, all that kind of weird stuff. I'm just like, no, I'll shout across the room and be like, 3, 2, 1, you're done. They're like, oh,
100%.
cool.
And I find it odd that coaches feel like they can't do that. Again, I think it lends itself, it just lends itself to that whole thing of they feel like it's that they are paying for their time. No, they're not paying for expertise.
Yeah,
Like,
they're paying
get
for
your
my
head around that.
expertise. And I'm like, no. I'll tell you if you're doing it fucking wrong. Like, crack on. I trust you. Like,
Yeah.
yeah, do it. It's fun. And I'm gonna trust. If you don't do it right and how I've just told you or whatever, and I've been like, yeah, that looks good. I'm gonna go get a drink. If you
Yeah.
just stop, then like, what are you doing? All right. Well, I'm not always going to be right to hold your hand. Anyway, but yeah, expertise is that kind of thing. I'm just like, yeah, fine. We could sit down and do
Yeah.
programming and talk about stuff for like 20 minutes. And then we're like, actually, we haven't got that much time to do a lot of like workouts and stuff. Interesting. Interesting insight, isn't it? So, because obviously, I was talking about this person. Actually, there's a girl that I'm training currently. I used to train her online. And now she was like, actually, Tom, I want to do in person. She made the switch. And we'll talk about this a little bit for one-to-one humans because she enjoyed a one-to-one coaching, but she actually wanted to spend more money with me. But in
Crazy, man.
terms of like the one-to-one stuff, and I'm sure we find it when you're doing like calls and stuff like that, you're able to make snap, quick decisions. Over the time, we probably online coached for 6 months, then we had a little gap. Now she's come to me and she's seeing me once a week for co normal coaching, and I do her other workout as well. So I just write a plan, but. In the month that we've spent together now, I've fixed about three or four problems that I couldn't whilst I was doing online coaching, just because I'm able to make a snap judgment. I'm like, no, actually, I want this to happen here. And I've changed, God forbid, I know every single workout has been slightly different because I've
Man.
wanted slightly, only very slightly, because I've changed something in a lunge pattern because I'm like, actually, I want this to happen today. Oh, I want this to happen today. I need that knee to be over here or like knee way over toe to make that structure differently. But there's certain aspects, and we're going to talk about it in terms of one-to-one coaching and online coaching and stuff like that, that one-to-one does trump. One for obviously social interaction, but that like I can't do that. I've proven that I couldn't do it with her like online. I couldn't change certain things, and now we've managed to solve a knee issue, which he had for fucking ever. Even the magic of my programming, but I can't see it. I'm literally not there to fucking see what's happening. So it's always
Yeah.
quite, it's a little bit tougher to do some of the rehab. But yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, she obviously wanted my bants for an hour. Even more check-ins weren't enough.
Told you everything you need to know, man. Jesus.
But yeah, we'll t like so. I think you were just alluding to it. Like, so we'll talk about the first topic's going to be one-to-one, like contact, and I guess the lonely world of online coaching, right? And what you were talking about prior, and then the second one, what we're going to talk about, and we're just going to wind Dan up and just let him go a little bit, is I guess we can put it from one angle, what your coach is not and what your business mentor is not. Because we both, I do a little bit of it, but I get a little bit more control, I think, because I don't have the vast people that you may have that you're chatting to on a weekly basis. But I think it's probably something that, I don't know, I did see a post about certain things today in terms of like aligning. I think it was Simon Mitchell made a post about it, about aligning your kind of offer to your like clients instead. It's like, you must have this before you sign up with me, instead of like, oh, it's free, so blah, 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 blah. It kind of speaks to me in that. Okay, so what your fucking business mentor is not, sounds like it's gonna be, I think it's gonna be quite funny for Dan.
We're talking about this first, are we?
I don't know. Are we then do are we then
No.
talk about that first? Are you gonna get annoyed
It's
first,
whatever, man. Just
or
the way you would describe it was like you were gonna let me just run off and run with it, but
no, we'll talk about, so like, obviously, you were saying that one of your clients, obviously, everybody, most people will come to you because they've done the online stuff, like Adam Haley or, God forbid, some other person. They will come to online fitness business mentors because they want to leave the gym floor. People don't come to me for that because they want to kind of stay on the gym floor but have a little dabble on both. And yeah, but you will always, pretty much, because I know you're always going to say, don't run away from it that quickly.
Yeah, I just think it's really overplayed. I think the whole it depends what you want out of your life, I guess, to a certain degree, but I think there's a blend to be had for sure of like you don't want to have all the hours in the gym floor and you don't want to spend all the time in the gym killing yourself, of course. I just think that the online world is really overemphasized about how good it is and how the gym floor sucks. And I just think it's really overplayed in certain marketing from certain people. Because it's definitely an area that I'll hold my hands up. I miss it. I miss the human interaction. I miss the banter with people. And it's funny actually, because watching like the Man City documentaries and stuff, it does make me go, fuck, like that was a great thing about football, is you never felt lonely, you never felt like you weren't, you're always part of the team, and there's always a reason to be doing something, and there was always something going on. And I think with PT as well, we still had that. I remember when we had PT together, there was always someone around that you could joke with, have a laugh with. Sure, look, doing 10 PT sessions, basically three lots of three back to back. It's not amazing, but it's also not horrific. It's not amazing, but it's not horrific. And I think that looking back now, if I could have my perfect dream as an online coach slash PT, it would be to get up and have to go and do PT, because I actually quite enjoyed early mornings, didn't mind early mornings so much. Let's say, rather than say your first client at 6, you might be like, oh, if you're fully booked, you could pick that client to be at 8, for example. Like if you're fully booked in your position, like you are, you can pretty much dictate your time to go, I'll work when the fuck I want to work. You'll fit around me if you want to work with me. That was the phase that obviously we were both out of third space, really. We could kind of do what we wanted. And I used to pretty much have this, to be fair. I used to just work the mornings, and I used to work 2 evenings, and that was it in a week. I used to come in Saturday morning because I wanted to. And I think looking back now, if I was in the, again, I don't envy anything, many things about you, Tom, but the one thing I do envy, not joking, but the one thing that you have got, if for sure, is hair. And the second thing is like you say, is that schedule and timetable that you have the best of both worlds, in my opinion. And I'm sure that at times you feel like you don't, and you feel like,
Oh, 100%.
oh, I'd
I feel
rather
like I
have.
don't. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather have more time to do this, more time to chill out, more time to play golf, whatever. But I think it's always that thing of the grass is always greener on the other side, kind of view of life. And I think that PTs are sold this dream of going online, and actually what they do is they get sold the dream of going full time online, and then realize it's actually a very, very lonely job, because unless you know a lot of other online coaches, which is very rare, Everyone else is out of work when you're fucking working at home. And when you were a PT, you were surrounded by other PTs and you can have a laugh, you can have a joke, you can piss around, you can make content, you can do all this sort of stuff. And I just think that I would advise a lot of PTs looking to get into online coaching to make your goal to be to get your online coaching to the point where you don't have to do PT, but you want to do PT. And I think if you were in a position where you were doing Monday to Thursday and you were doing the times between 8 a.m. and say 1 p.m. most mornings, Monday, say Monday, say you did that Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, right? And you had some clients who enjoyed you've got the fucking dream right there. Trust me when I say that you've then got a line on a Tuesday, line on a Friday, you can do content days those days, you can do whatever. I just think that it is massively overplayed. And I think that I would advise a lot of coaches, and I do advise the coaches I work with, to not take that rush and leap to just going online if it's not what you truly, truly, truly want. And when I say that, I mean, if you've got clients that you PT that you enjoy seeing, you have fun training them, you enjoy it, they're at half decent times, why would you get rid of that? Why would you get rid of the opportunity to be paid to see someone that you enjoy seeing? It makes no sense to me. Obviously, it's different for me. I moved from London, moved to Bath, all these things changed for me. But it's definitely the thing that I don't think gets talked about enough. And maybe I'm being a bit too open here and a bit too honest, but like it is the part of my life that sucks, is that I don't see many people. Like I feel quite isolated. And it's not just being here in Dubai. I was the same in Bath, to be honest. It wasn't much different there. It wasn't like it was hugely different. Obviously, I've always had Mike there to kind of bounce ideas off. And if it wasn't for that, I think it would be even, I mean, fuck me, it would have been so much harder. I know maybe I'm noticing more this week because Mike's back in the UK and it definitely something that you recognize a little bit more. And look, technology is great. You do Zoom calls and you do all this stuff. It's not the same. Like it's really not the same. And it can be more draining because you actually have to go through that whole effort of being there, being present, and thinking about what you're saying, but you get none of the social interaction benefit. You just come off it feeling exhausted. Whereas, at least as a PT, you feel like you're getting that social connection. And as humans, we're made for that, right? But even just as a PT, even just daft things like going to walk for a coffee with your mate for half an hour between a client, like I think that is so underplayed. Like you don't get paid for that. Like you don't do that, but you don't do that as an online coach. You don't have the option to do that. And you don't have the ability within your day to do that. And unless your online coach who wants to travel the world, I just don't think it's worth going full time online and ditching all the PT in such a hurry. I just don't see the benefit of doing it. I think it's a really nice place to have the online and then have it as a, well, I could just give up PT if I wanted to, but I don't want to. I quite enjoy it. And I get that some places it doesn't make financial sense because you might pay rent and it's like, well, what's the point? Because like I don't cover my costs if I only do 4 sessions a week, blah, blah, blah. But then it's like, well, you put your prices up to reflect that and you make sure you're in a position where it is worth your while, obviously. But yeah, I don't know. I just think it's not talked about enough. And a lot of the time, one of the coaches that I deal with and speak to, it's that they're just in their head too much. And it's because they sit in their office on their own all the time. That's the struggle that they face more than anything.
And the stuff like, you just described there, like the being able to just go out, have half an hour for coffee, meet up with people. Obviously, like I work for myself, but I'm in a community in theory. But we can go do that. And I'm not far away from some of the third spaces. So like I can just meet up with a couple of people there. But yeah, it's time away from your business as well. Like I think that's underplayed because obviously when you're in the office or you're online coaching or whatever, you probably if you're like, oh, but Dan, I can walk to the coffee shop by myself and I'll be like, yeah, but you're not chatting about like if I'm meeting up with Annie, like I'm gonna be like, well, how the Liverpool game was or how's Emma or all that kind of stuff.
And when
I'm
you
not gonna
leave,
talk about
the
business.
gym, you feel like you're leaving work.
Yeah, it's like, all right,
Whereas
cool.
for me, it's like at home, I'm just always on because everything
Right.
here is like my daily office is here. Like everything's
Correct,
here.
yeah. And then yeah, because like obviously like I do between probably like 15 to tops like 25 to 30 sometimes when I run slightly oversubscribed, right? So for my one-to-one business, so when people are away, 15 sessions a week, so say 3 a day, and then when people are here, 25 to 30, so it can be like 5 a day pretty much. Like today I did 7. That was only because I'm not working on Friday, so I cram people in a little bit more. But exactly how we do, I do sometimes feel like I don't have enough time to properly go at my online coaching all the time, but I'm quite happy in the fact that I'll be very open. Like, I earn good money from my one-to-one coaching. So I'm not like, don't need to like scream at it and be like, this must be super growth the whole time. I'm like, no, it's fine. Like, if I pick up two clients every month, like we talked about, it's like, I'm good. If I do that for 2 years, I've probably got an okay business. If I do that for 3 more years, I'm probably doing all right. Oh, and that would just snowball and that kind of thing. So it's absolutely fine. And that's generally the rate I go at. It's just like, yeah, fine. I'm actually good with that. It's very predictable. I know what's happening. I'm probably a little bit better at it now. But I feel like the only thing that would annoy me from building up your online coaching is the ability to shut off time because you've got those online clients. But I wouldn't give up the social interaction. Like,
No,
so I was
I
talking,
think it's
like,
massive.
so Danny Bosworth is a girl that I know who lives in like Manchester, and she made a post about this exact topic, and it's just only because we were talking about it from, and you'll get it. Like, I'm sure Mike, that's why you say like Mike loves those events, because he wants to fucking see some humans, more than likely,
Probably.
who are all interested in him about what he's doing and stuff like that. And it's like, she was the same. She was like, I need to make more time doing nutrition consults because I like meeting up with people. Maybe like, even if it was one a day, like I'm sure you'd look forward to that PT session if you're just doing one session or two sessions a day. Like, that's not a lot, but it gets you out. You can train after, that's 3 hours done. Cool. Then back to your online stuff. 3 hours out of the house or 3.5 hours out,
It
like
also gives you
doing something.
structure to your day as well of like, right, I'll
Yeah.
do this before I go. When I get back, I've got this left to do. Whereas often at
Correct.
home on your own, you've got this list of stuff to do, but you just wait and you
You
just
just procrastinate,
procrastinate on it and you
yeah.
just don't actually do anything. And again,
So
that's a huge part of it as well. Like that
that's
happens. Like it's real. And again, a lot of coaches think that they're abnormal for doing that. And it's like you're not. Like it, that's what happens to all of us. We're
100%.
all in that
Yeah,
boat.
like I would like on it's Tuesday today. Yeah, so Monday. So yesterday, I actually only had two clients in, right? So the rest of my day was like a couple of mentor calls and then just businessy stuff. I procrastinate like fuck. I was like, I've had about six or seven things that I needed to tick off. And I was like, fuck. And I end up working till like 8, 9 p.m. because I was like, oh, I didn't get them all done. But in the middle of the day, I was like, da, 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 I've got loads of time. This is all good. But it fucking happens. I think people are like, oh, they'll look at Dan and be like, oh, he's on. I've seen him work. He fucking like, if when I'm there and I know he's got check-ins, he'll like do a few, then he'll run out and start throwing a ball at me or like just go and make something. I'm like, yeah, because he doesn't want to sit still and just be glued to his fucking laptop the whole time. Just because like somebody's doing that amount of work doesn't mean they do it just like whoosh, done. It's
And
like
also as well, like you need those little
yeah.
breaks to be able to just kind of like clear your head for fucking 2 minutes to go, right, okay, back in again, do that, do this. You know, it's exactly that. Is it people don't get it, I think, with that. They just again, they assume, whether they assume that it's just a case of like, oh, fucking go. Or what? Again, I don't know. And everyone works in different ways. But this is the whole thing. Again, I don't want to get too out there with this. But it's like the whole like ADHD, like mass fucking diagnosis of it all. I'm sure there's probably other people who've got it. Blah blah. But I think inherently as humans, I don't think we're designed to sit and just do the same thing over and over again for an hour without some sort of break. Like if most people I know work best by going short sprint. And then take 5 minutes just to kind of recompose themselves to go again. And I just don't think we're designed that way. And I think that a lot of people I speak to say they've got ADHD. I'm like, would I fit the diagnosis because I do two, three check-ins, then take a little bit of a break, then do two, like, well,
I do
I
the same
don't,
thing.
yeah, exactly. I just think it's a bit of a, again, I don't know if it's just because of like social media and people are like, oh, I find myself, I can't concentrate on anything. I'm scrolling from here to here. I'm like, well, yeah, it's just because it's just the way things are designed now. Like, you've got short attention spans. They've
Capture
just,
attention. That's
yeah, they just
precisely.
captured on the fact that humans just have shit attention spans. That's all they captured on. And now we're labeling it as like, I've got a problem. And it's like, I don't think you have. I think, again, I'm broadly speaking, I'm not saying some people are diagnosed with it and they do have a problem and get all that sort of stuff. But I just think inherently we all have that within us, the ability to be distracted very, very easily. I think that's a sign of it. I think sometimes it's definitely a sign like where you can kind of look at it and be like, right, actually, it's because I don't have enough human interaction, or I don't do these sorts of things, I find those things crop up more. I feel like I need that time away, otherwise I'm just doing the same thing, looking at screen. And I'm not a huge fan of looking at staring at fucking screens all the time, which again sounds stupid being a fucking online coach, but it pains me. Like if I didn't have that goal 3 times a week, fuck me, I don't know what I'd do. Like genuinely don't know what I would feel and how I would be, because I need that. Like to me, I need that break all the time. That's my only time I get out of the fucking house, really, during the week. And like I said, as a PT, when you think about it, you have those opportunities to do those things regularly, and you kind of maybe take it for granted, maybe. And like I said, I just don't want people to kind of, I don't want people to look at online coaching and think that it's going to drastically improve their life, potentially.
Wonderful.
That's the only thing I think that's worth looking at. Tom just nearly fucking soaked his computer with all the water from his bottle there. But yeah, I think that's one thing I would say about that. And then what's the next thing we're gonna talk about? What your mentor is not?
Yeah, I guess it's like, obviously we coach a lot of coaches and we do that kind of stuff, but I think there's obviously or you can tap this from like a mentorship point of view. Mine tends to be quite good because I don't take very many. And I can cuddle them a little bit more. But what your business mentor is not, or what your coach is not, and what the expectations are from like the deliverables from like a business mentor or an online coach. And you can take this, like you guys probably obviously have everybody that's fucking listened to this is probably an online coach or a personal trainer. And if you're not, then well done.
Very
You've
surprised you're
managed
here. They must be here for the Carnival Cam updates.
they're definitely Carnival Cam updates, but yeah, or got some sort of online business. But yeah, what your like expectations of what stuff you should be answering and what stuff you should be like. And everybody who works with us will know. And me, normally I send you a fucking stupid GIF or like a sticker going, why the fuck have you sent me that? Like, I'm not answering this. Go and like
Maybe I
have you
should start
check.
doing that.
Literally, I mean, she won't mind. Amelia, fucking today, she's one of my clients, you probably know. And I just sent her a GIF of my face doing that to a stupid question. And she was like, noted. I was like, yep, cool. And she knows that response. And I'm just like, no, just like, what the fuck are you? I couldn't give shit about that answer. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's not important, or like you're missing the forest with the trees here. So, obviously, Dan gets asked a fair few questions in terms of checks and stuff like that, and sort of Mike, and so do I. And so it's a thing for business mentorship. What is a business mentor not expected to do for someone?
Write your content for you, pretty much is one. Yeah, I just feel like a lot of coaches. And this is again is a broad statement from my time as working with clients, is that they fit into two categories. One is they understand completely what mentoring is, and they know that you're there for them as a someone to lean on, ask questions of that broadly, I suppose, are business related in terms of your longer term strategy, in terms of like plans of action, in terms of what things will be good based on their niche, based on yourself. And then you get some that are just like, tell me what to do. And I'm like, I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to help you figure it out for yourself. Like, I'm here to guide you through that journey. And like I said to you before, and I said to you literally, I said, let's hit record because I need to rant about this rather than me and you talk about it. Is like, I feel like some coaches, like I hired my golf coach to help me become a better golfer. And I can promise you this, that I leave most of my golf lessons with, not with more questions than answers. That's not necessarily true. But with something to go and do that week to work on. I don't leave with the answer. He gives me the thing I need to do and goes, right, I need to do more of this. Go figure it out. Once you try it, you'll know what you're feeling. You'll figure out what you're going to do with that. Come back next week and we'll look at what you've done. And it's a discovery element. It's a self-discovery thing where I'm like, you're put on a path of discovery. At no point do I text my golf coach and say, hey, man, I'm just playing a round of golf. Can you come and take this shot for me? That's what some coaches do to me. Can you do this piece? Can you look at this piece of content for me? Does this look okay? What should I do for a lead magnet? What should I say on this post? How should I announce this project? How the fuck do you want to announce it? I don't know. What the fuck? Because all I'm going to do is tell you how I would do it. And that's what you're really asking is just tell me how to do it. And when I say to a coach, right, at this date, you should announce your project and talk about all the positives, future pace for people, talk about the objections they're going to have, handle those objections, and then talk about that over the content for the week. I would expect a coach to go away and do that. Not say, how do you do that? Like, what posts should they look like? Have you got any templates? Have you got anything I can copy? Got anything, any ideas? Got any examples? That's the biggest struggle for me is the complete lack of self-discovery and like I thought, as going to the mentoring space, that my day would be spent strategizing, being a sounding board. And I feel like, as a mentor, your best place and your best use of your time is actually to be asking the questions. Is that if I had a mentor and I had an hour of their time, I would be like saying, if I said to them, for example, like, oh, how would you approach this? I would want them to say, oh, how are you thinking of approaching it? Well, I'm thinking of doing this, this, and this. Okay, cool. That would work. I would consider this, this, and this as you do that, but that's the right way of doing it because that's your way and that's how you have approached it initially. I'll then guide you to that point. And not enough coaches are happy with that as a response. They're not happy with me giving that, asking them, well, how would you do it? And I start doing it now. And it's funny how I get very few replies to that question because what they actually want is it in a Google Doc. Oh, can you give me the template? No, I don't have a template. Fucking write the template yourself, figure it out. Because all you're going to do is create, use the template of the way that I would say it, and that's not how you would say it. So it's pointless. It's exactly like it's like me asking my golf coach to take the golf shots for me. How is that ever going to help me? It's never going to help me in any way, shape, or form. But he would say, for example, how do you want to hit the ball? Well, I want to get more of this shape, and I currently I've got this shape. Okay, cool. So you're currently doing this shape. And what, how are you setting up? And look at yourself in this video. Look at how you're setting up to get that shape. What do you think you need to do to get the opposite shape? Based on, again, based on my knowledge of golf swing, I would say, well, I need to move this foot and move this hip. He goes, correct. So why don't you practice that? At no point has he told me what to do. He's let me figure it out based on my knowledge level and where I'm at. And too many coaches come into coaching with a severe lack of knowledge, which again is fine. I've got no problem with that. But that's exactly why we have the videos for you to go away and upskill on the knowledge. But the problem is that they go away, they look at the knowledge, and they then come back and go, yeah, but how would you do it for me? Ridiculous question to ask. Ridiculous question. I've just told you in that video how I would do it. And your mentor is not there to do it for you. And I think too many coaches expect it given to them on a plate. They want everything handed to them, they want everything checked over. If and I'll tell you what, me and Mike say this all the time. If me, because me and Mike used to work with Suk initially. And we also now work with another mentor who's helping us with our other business that we do. If I would be embarrassed to ask them the questions, some of the questions I get asked, I wouldn't even ask them because I'd be like, they're going to think I'm a fucking moron if I ask that question. Because the amount of times I could reply, Google it, is astounding. It's like people just WhatsApp you instead of going on Google. They just, well, because they can, well, why not WhatsApp you? Why not figure out how to do it yourself on Google? Because that's what I would have done. That's what I would have done. Like, so for example, we mentored by Suk. Suk said, we'd have a meeting, for example. He'd be like, yeah, so guys, you know, you're pretty full with one-to-ones. I think it's probably time you look at doing a group coaching program. They're pretty successful. It's really a good idea for you to get a flow of people into one-to-one on the back end, but ultimately it's going to take less of your time. I think about creating an 8-week program. Go away, have a think about it, how you'd set it up and what you'd do. I didn't then message him going, so mate, how do you do week one coaching then? On that, how would you do week two? What would you add in? No, we then come back and go, right, here's what we're thinking for the 8 weeks. Here's how we're thinking of the start date. These are the things we're going to think to do it. How would you launch it? Right, in terms of a launch for something like this, this is the lead time. These are the things you need to consider. This is how I'd incorporate this. Put it all together and let me know how you got on. That was it. Like, that was literally it, right? That's what I expected this to be like. But instead, it is literally like, what email do I send? What time do I send it? What day do I send? I'm like, come on. Like, that's not what I'm here for. Really, that's not what I'm here for. And because I provide you the templates to do that, doesn't mean A, you just copy them exactly. And again, the amount of coaches do that, by the way, you give them a template. So with our group coaching, we've got a template of all these emails, right? And we go, right, here you go, here's a template of emails that you could use that, you know, we work that worked for us. The amount of them that just copy and paste them with their own name of the thing in, astounding. Astounding. I wouldn't do that. I couldn't do that. I'd want to make it my own. And I work with some coaches and I'm like, I thought you had your own niche. I thought you had your own way to do it. I thought you had this nailed. And then I see that they've just sent out the exact emails that I sent out, that I wrote with my own brain to my niche. And I'm like, cool. And it tells me everything I need to know about that coach. Well, they're not where they need to be yet. They don't understand half the stuff yet. Because I know, Tom, if I gave you those templates, you would take the basis of them and go, right, I'm going to rewrite these exactly how I would write it, using the same concept.
Yeah, you just you're looking, because I feel like obviously the kind of thing on templates and stuff, it does seem like a big, because something I obviously get asked, and I've got tons of stuff over the years in terms of like coaching templates or workout templates and stuff like that. And I'm like, I can't write your client's program for you as well, stuff like that. It's like, I've never seen them move. I don't know what their goals are. I don't know what's happening. But I can give you a template. It's like, oh, but yeah, they're doing a fat loss program. So what do they need to do? Give you 80% of it. Like, but it's not going to be groundbreaking, is it? All this kind of stuff. But that's the templates are big in terms of like, put your personality all over them. And that, yeah, it's slightly infuriating because obviously we get... I've been given like 120 emails of like, so I work with Sook as well, right? And he'd be like, here's the stuff that I did, off you go. Like, and you know what I didn't do? 120 emails and go, yep, I'm just going to go one by one, yeah. Order these, copy, boom,
paste,
boom, boom.
Copy, paste,
everybody
copy,
knows paste. My emails go out 3 times a week. I do, at the moment, they tend to be, if you haven't realized, I do like a story, lesson, offer kind of email, which I tell a story about a client, what they're doing. I teach a lesson about that. And I go, actually, you fuckers can fucking do this. And like SLO stuff. And then I do an educational one, which has got no sales whatsoever, subliminally, probably does, because I'm position myself as an expert, that kind of stuff. Then I do a funny one, something I find interesting, but that's the one that gets more shares or sent back to me and be like, this was funny, that kind of shit. But those are, I do not go into like Sook's email templates and go, but I've learned from his email templates because there were certain things that he did, like mm-hmm. a certain, like, it's cool, but I've learned from my mentor indirectly through his template. But what I didn't do is message him and be like, do you think I should send this one out this week? Don't know. Maybe. Have you sent one out this week already? I don't know. Have you, what, like, do it every day for all I fucking care. Like, I don't know. Do it. Yeah, just do it. See what happens. Then come back to me when you, that's more of the action kind of stuff as well. As long as it's not completely moronic and you thought about it for more than 5 seconds, I'd rather you just go, trying this, we'll feedback to you. Cool. Awesome. Awesome. That'd be a great message to have.
Oh, the amount of coaches that are so scared of trying something and like say reporting back and going, here's the data, here's what I picked up on.
Again,
it's frightening and they're so afraid to fail. And when I look back, I think the reason that we are where we are is because we failed so many times. And I know it's so fucking cliche and I get that and I get that people don't want to hear it, but I'm like, you are not going to get anywhere if I just give you the answer every single turn, because you will then at some point fail and you'll have no fucking clue how to solve the problem. You'll have no idea what to do with it. And I just think, and for me, like, and this is going to be ranty now, I don't care. It's the entitlement. It is the entitlement of personal trainers and online coaches that because they've got an Instagram account and a PT qualification, that they should have 50 clients. And that they'll look at someone who has got 50 clients and rather than learn from them and learn the principles and the fundamentals, they just want what post they made. What post got you there? What post went and sent you viral? Never been viral. Can't help you with that. Like, but that's never stopped me making...
Speak yourself, mate. Like,
yeah, exactly, yeah. It's not stopped me having £1 million a year business. So why did you just go viral? Well, so-and-so did, and like, oh, it looks good on Instagram. Yeah, well, yeah, brilliant. Have you got the template for that? You got what's the hook for that? What's the thing... Right, how about you figure out fucking hooks for yourself? How about you figure out what hooks you like? What hooks do you like? What things make you stop on Instagram? What style of content and videos do you like? Because it's not up to me to come up with the idea for you. I have no idea what you like and what you want to do. Like, at no point did Sook or anyone else we like or know in the industry turn around to us and go, hey guys, you know what you should probably do some spoof videos. Like, because they seem to be going quite well on Instagram. No, me and Mike just like spoof videos. We like it. I've not seen you do one, Tom. Why have you not done one, Tom? Come on, mate. They're really good. They're all the rage. Well, because Tom doesn't like doing sweet videos, quite obviously, because he's not done them yet, right? Likewise, with the skit videos, I can't imagine Tom doing a skit video where he does two different characters, because I know Tom, and I know that's not really his bag, right?
No.
I know people who do them really well on Instagram.
It'll great. Be shit that's great as well. That's the thing. It's just, I'm not going to be like, actually, I'm going to force my personality into it. I think Adam Haley did a post about this. He did a talk on it as well at Perform X.
Yeah, about forcing being something you're
not. He was like, don't force something you're not. He was like, if I did James Smith stuff, it'd be fucking awful. So he was like, I'm going to align myself as the expert in the field. Yeah. Like, he was just like, I've got shit personality for this, the like, comedy stuff. Like, why the fuck would I do that? Like, But yeah,
but that's the other thing as well. The amount of coaches we say to them, right, you need to put your personality across on Instagram, and they just start swearing or thinking they need to make funny jokes. I'm like, well, since when did swearing become a personality? No, that's not a personality.
Even one of my coaches noticed that about some biceps people, and he was like, "Why do they all swear?"
Yeah,
I
like
was like, "I don't
it's baffling.
know."
Like, because I don't think we actually swear that much in our content. You know, when you kind of think, oh, we don't swear that much. We do it for emphasis at certain time points, but it's just this whole thing around like, oh, that all of a sudden you have to have a crude innuendo, sexual innuendo in your content now. What? When did that become a thing? Like, just and when we say put personality into it, that's what people think. Your content's full of personality, but you've got no humor. You're not funny at all. No joking. But like, it's, you know, the Star Wars. It's the making jokes about certain things. It's to a certain degree how you dress, the fact you wear a cap all the time, the way you train. That is a personality. There's personality in
Like
it, in
traits,
what you
yeah.
do. Like, there's traits within it, and it's just, again, even down to things like the font and the combine and what you train for and like all this stuff, is people don't understand that there's personality involved within that. Because I see a lot of coaches who call themselves hybrid coaches or train for performance rather than fat loss, which is what you do, but there's zero personality in their stuff. They just talk about that. And I would argue in your stuff, there's personality in, like I said, the training videos, the music that you use on some of your posts, the way you
Literally, like, so
put that stuff in there,
one of
like.
the lads, I think I was messaging back and forth with him yesterday. He was like, "Yeah, I'm here for the nonsense, but more for the music." I was
Literally,
like,
right?
"Shit."
And
I was just like, I would rather burn my eyes than use trend in audio. It's mainly the
that's
reason.
what I mean, is it's like, how am I supposed to help you if you can't even grasp the concept of being yourself and who you are? Like, I don't know what stuff you want to post and music you want to add to
Because
share. It's
that's the
just
thing,
like,
like, so just from the point of view, because if people are going, "Oh, I don't really understand what this means," and that's like, if I were to come to Dan, like, and ask him to do, like, "What do you think of my cons? Like, would you change this? Would you change?" He'd be like, "Well, I don't know. I don't like that music. So why on earth
yeah.
would you tell?" Like, some of the questions he'll be asked is like, "Do you think I should put trending audio on it?" And he'd be like, "Don't give a shit. Like, is it good
Yeah,
for your audience?
literally.
Like, oh, should I post this today? I don't know. Was that in your plan to post that today? Like, do you think your audience will enjoy that? Like, do you think your audience are going to react to that? Are you going to like?" And the thing I said, that you talked about, Mike, was like getting sent lots of posts to essentially like kind of look at before they post out. That feels like an editor to me. Like, that's exactly what an editor would do for like a magazine or something like that. That's we would do that to like as a I don't know. At the PTC, for example, when we asked Joe to do certain stuff, he'd send it maybe for me to look out being the expert, but I'm not checking it for like if it goes viral or whether it's got a hook or anything. I'm just looking at it and say, "Actually, Joe, that squat pattern that you've just fucking done is a piece of bullshit." That's the only thing I would be looking at it, but that's because that's my job, not business mentor. Bit of a weird one. So I think content checker, probably not. I wouldn't bother them with that. That seems like a vast waste of money if you're asking someone to check
Literally.
your content, check your emails, and decide these kind of things. Which I think it starts to be where people think like, and I literally the way I say it, because I take on five. I only work with five mentors at any and mentees at any one time. And I say, "I'm in your back pocket. I want you to use me as your back pocket and your sounding board for what you want to do." And literally, whether that be like, "Oh, Tom, I've got a client with an ACL injury. What do you think I should do?" And I'd be like, "Probably this, look up this, and look up this. Then come back to me with what you write." And that's it. I the only kind of, and obviously on a call, it's going to be a little bit longer. It's like, "Oh, Tom, we're going to, like, how do you think I should position this next month? All right, we're going to run this campaign. We're going to talk about this in your content. Crack on, please. Like, I want to see your content when it's out there. And if it looks like shit, then it's there. Then we're like, oh, we'll refigure it. It's fine." But unless you don't post it, it's not gonna be a mistake. Like, but yeah, sounds like some of the stuff that maybe because you've got obviously a bigger chunk of people, yeah, you're gonna get some silliness thrown in.
Yeah, it's just that the fact they think there's a right answer to it as well. I just find with
Yeah.
content, like, oh, what's the right answer? Well, there isn't the right answer. Like,
Just like it's this doesn't mean that. That's unfortunately in like business. Like we try this. If it doesn't work, cool, we have to change it. Like, that's fine. We just have to pivot and be like, all right, what did work from that? And then we have a conversation with someone like Dan who has built good businesses and been like, all right, cool. Well, this worked for me. We'll try it, but we're going to try it your way because your audience seems to respond better to this. Like, there's certain traits that'll be fine, but it'll be like my audience and Dan's audience are quite different. So Like, if we tried exactly everything that Dan did, probably not gonna work on my audience. Like, chances are, like, the coaches it will work on, but the runners and stuff couldn't give a shit about what Dan talks about. So why the fuck would I do exactly what Dan did? No
True.
chance. No,
Yeah.
yeah, they're all after the same people, so it's fine.
It's just scary. It's just like, and I appreciate as well, like, I do appreciate that when you don't know an answer to something, it can seem scary and you feel like, well, I've got a mentor, I should ask them the question, right? But it's also this complete lack of trying it first. I don't mind if someone comes to me with a question and they've tried first. It's when they come to me with like, tell me what to do. Not, I tried this for a post. What do you think about it? Okay, cool. Well, now I can give you a bit more feedback. And I'm like, right, broadly speaking, think of these things next time you think of this type of post. Yeah, that's the thing for me. Like I said,
I think it's
is asking yourself that question of, is this the equivalent of me asking my coach to kick this ball for me? Like again, like a football coach, they don't kick the balls. Are you doing the same thing? Are you effectively asking them to do it for you? Because I think that would stop a lot of people in their tracks from sending a stupid message. Put it that way.
think try it and then do it and get feedback.
Like again, like if I went to my golf coach, I was like, I'm trying to hit a draw and I can't hit a draw. Okay, cool. Have you tried it? No. No, here's 20 videos of me trying it. What do you think I'm doing wrong? Well, I can see straight away what you're doing wrong. You're doing this wrong because you know. Okay, brilliant. Better. Like that's the thing, is like just using those examples, going, okay, cool. Am I doing the equivalent? Am I doing the same thing? That's all I would say to people. It's just fuck me. Like just think. Use your brain. Use your
Just
noggin.
think, anyway.
Most coaches don't, so by doing that, you're well ahead of them already. Literally.
Right, mate. Ran over. Done.
Ran over.
But yeah, just if you're paying a lot of money for business coaching, like use it. Use the questions wisely, I feel. Like, yeah, get the
Yeah.
most out of it. That's not the most out of it. Like, yeah, don't
No
sweat the small
chance.
stuff like that. So yeah, I'm sure there'll be a few hundred coaches being like, shit, I sent Dan this really cool Instagram post yesterday. That's fine. Like, if he
Yeah.
liked it, it's fine. It's cool.
Yeah, it was great, but my bad. Yeah.
Right, mate. Any other business?
Not for me, mate. You just got to get to the well, the only thing I'm frustrated about is, of course, I'm back to the UK in 2 days and I'm there for 2 weeks. And then when I get back, I've only got 2 rounds of golf before the Dubai Open, which I'm worried about. I've not got much golf between now and then, mate. I've only got a few rounds, a few practice sessions.
Mate, it might be as much as what I play.
I
Like,
know. That's what I'm worried
scares
about. So that's the only other thing I'm
you.
stressed about. So I've got to figure that out and make sure I get some practice in somewhere on the way. But yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Very exciting. Very
Yeah.
exciting. Will there be just I'm probably learning about this now because obviously you're traveling. Will there be no podcast for a couple of weeks or
Yeah. I mean, I'll probably be able
we'll
to do
see.
it. No, I'll probably be able to do it next week. It'll be the week after that'll be the challenge. No, just 1 week, innit?
I don't
Just
know.
1 week, or me. I think it's just 1 week. Let me look at the dates. Yeah, 23rd, I'm back. St. George's Day, oh boy, I'm back then. Back on the 23rd. So it won't be
Lovely.
2 weeks, just be 16th.
Lovely. All right. Yeah. Unfortunately, there'll be going to be a lot of golf content in about 3 4 weeks on mine and Dan's Instagram. So
Damn right, there is.
it's
A
just,
lot.
yeah. It's all right. It's all right. It's like,
Non-stop.
we've got to get a trophy. All right,
Getting
guys.
entry.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Just later.
Goodbye.